exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views. Actions and reactions. Your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Gray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood in on this Saturday morning. And a little overcast now after some rain overnight, but it looks like it's going to be a is the term I used earlier today, Chamber of Commerce type of day. Might get, almost 90, but 87 degrees, and the wind's supposed to be nice and calm, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day, beautiful weekend for the Bruffs and Broadcasters Golf Tournament, which is underway at the Emporia Country Club. The, Bruffs flight going this morning and the Broadcasters flight this afternoon, and then tomorrow it's flipped. The Broadcasters will play in the morning, and then the Bruffs flight will play in the afternoon. So everybody should be having a great weekend out at the Emporia Country Club, and welcome all that are back for that, and hope they all have a great weekend this weekend. First up this morning, we'll be visiting with Emporia State men's basketball coach Craig Doty. In case you're wondering, well, isn't football season, the fall sports, about ready to get underway? Why are we talking basketball? Well, basketball summer has been pretty busy for Coach Craig Doty, and I thought we'd probably catch him when he was first off, Coach, good morning and welcome to Sports Talk.
Oh, well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on, as always, Greg, and I look forward to talking with you, Tim, and Dylan. Welcome welcome back to Emporia, Dylan.
Thanks, Craig. Glad to be back.
Well, the question I was getting ready to ask, I noticed that Division I's, they're in their quiet time as far as recruiting is concerned. Is that the same thing for Division II? Are you guys in a quiet time as far as recruiting goes?
Yeah, so we're preparing right now for on-campus visits, which we're not dead, so we can bring kids on. We're preparing for in-home visits and official visits here this fall. You know, we really try to correspond with our football game schedule and bring a lot of guys on campus when the energy is high and, you know, Welch Stadium's packed out for a Thursday or a Saturday game. So, we're excited. We're working on that class of 2023 and even the class of 24 right now for high school kids. And as we continue to focus on having a balanced roster of both high school players and transfers.
Have I seen it right that you've added a couple players to the roster for this coming season this summer?
Well, the release has come out constant. I guess I don't know exactly when Don and them are putting out the releases, but we have a nice signing class that had come in. Elijah Cometeer from Colorado Springs, he's a transfer who already played Division II and averaged over 20 a game. And Owen Long, who averaged 19.3 points per game at Division II Maryville, he's coming in from Youngstown State, so another guy who's done it at Division II level. So that firepower immediately hopes to replace, Jamari Turner and Trey Buchanan. But then, of course, the biggest thing we like to talk about is the nine returners we have. And, nine guys who have been in the program. Four of them are entering their fourth year, the Mason Teesons, the Tyreek Robinsons, the Gage McGuires, the Mayum Booms. It's nice to have that continuity. So not only are we continuing to enhance the roster through recruiting, but just retaining and getting these guys coming back again, where this is our biggest class of returners that we've had since we've been here. And, it just makes year five a lot easier than year one or two, if you will.
Coach Doty, in terms of recruiting, in terms of being received, are you finding yourself to be more even more received by recruits than you were back in year one, just because of recruits being able to see what you're building here?
Yes, I think it's interesting because there's different reasons to come. When we first got the program, it was the excitement, it was the momentum that allowed us to sell. Basically what we've done in the past. We'd won national championships at Graceland and two at Rock Valley College. So we were able to sell what we had done at previous schools, and double down with the what our vision was at Emporia State. Well, that only lasts so long. You know, you then have to transition to showing results on the court. And you know, last season we were 20-9 overall. It was the best season in terms of record for 16 years. You know, we beat Northwest Missouri State. We swept them, and they won the national championship again last year. It was the highest rated victory, as they were number two in the country, that Emporia State has had in the history of the program, which is over 100 years old. And, you know, there's just a lot of really good things that happened at Emporia State, because eventually you can't keep talking about the momentum, you know, and the success you had at previous schools. You have to show results at the current school. And I think last year was it was big for us getting over the hump. So does that help with recruiting? Absolutely it helps. There's expectations, there's culture, there's things established here now that are enticing for recruits to come to. And we've shown that both transfers can have success and high school players can have success. So we've really focused on bringing in the right student athletes and having great roster balance along the way.
When you mentioned the nine players coming back, does that also include among the guys who were freshmen last year that basically redshirted?
Yes, nine total returners coming back. Those are guys. So we count. I mean, if you were in the program, you practiced for the full season, and you're coming back, then we absolutely count it. But it's Mayum Boom, it's Peyton Roger Schmidt, it's Caden Evans, Sam Baker, Gage McGuire, PJ Johnson, Tyreek Robinson, Mason Thiessen, and Kambaya Shabangu. Those are the nine guys who are coming back, and we don't have to teach them how to, we don't have to teach them the expectations or how we're going to run our defense, and how to practice each day and how to show up on time and where the buildings are and where the classrooms are. They've been at Emporia State. Some going on four. You know, some are entering their fourth year and some are entering their second year, but. There's value in having all of them back.
And I will attest that I have seen the majority of those guys in Gym C at one time or another this summer. So they've spent time around Emporia this summer.
Well, I appreciate your ability to go in there because your media, see, the NCAA doesn't let us go in there and coach them in the summertime. So, you know, I guess that'd be illegal too for you to write down a whole little report for me. So we'll just keep it at you going in there. But Greg, I think it's your second home anyway. You're in Gym C as much as we are. So we appreciate the coverage and just your thirst for knowledge. So when you're in the middle of a game, you know, in the middle of the season, you're going to have some fast facts because you caught these players hooping a little bit in the summer months.
So how much can you, as a Division II basketball coach, work with players during the summer? What kind of limitations do you have, and what kind of freedom are you hoping to get maybe in the future?
Yeah, so when the COVID year, well, last year, not this summer, the summer of 21, they put in place that we were able to work with our student athletes, and that's because they're coming off a canceled Final Four. And, you didn't have a lot of exposure with your guys from the year prior. And so they said, well, you guys can work with student-athletes on a per-request basis. So that was awesome. So we were able to, you know, any student-athlete on campus in the month of July, we had them on. We were able to work with them if they, you know, reached out to us. This year, it was really late. We kept waiting for a ruling. You know, we were waiting on the NCAA to tell us what we're able to do. And they came in very late and said that, we're back to the previous rule of no, you know, hands off. You can't work with the guys. So this year was a little different than in the previous summer. But we're hoping legislation will be moving forward where there's a common sense approach where we can get 2 to 4 hours a week or 6 hours. They give us 10 hours a week. You can't force the student athletes to be on campus in the summer. It has to be optional. But like with any great program or even rising program, your student-athletes will be there if they want to get better, and it's just trying to manage them and not overcoach them either, Greg, because as you know, the fourth day of school hits in basketball. You know, football and volleyball, while they're high-intensive seasons, they're very short seasons. Basketball, we will start the fourth day of school, and we hope to not end until middle of March. So it is a long, long time of having hands-on with your student-athletes. And, there certainly is some value in having some limited contact, in the summertime and giving your players plenty of chances to go home and go on family vacations and get those batteries recharged.
Coach, you're not saying that your players need a break from you, are you?
No, that well, I don't know if they need a break from me or if I need a break from them or if it's both. But, no, I mean, in general, I allow a lot of voices to be heard in the program. I prefer to delegate and you know, really just engage and motivate our staff so they all have a voice. And that means my voice is heard less. But if my voice is heard less, that means when I am speaking, it's like my dad growing up, you know, he didn't know anything until somebody else said the same thing, right? Dad was telling me something. Well, it's what I heard all the time. It was the voice I always heard. You know, then I got to a point, you know, I've even asked him since I've been 25 and now much older, you know, did you actually have somebody else say the same thing that you were saying just so it was a secondary point? You know, and that's the goal is that, you know, somebody's hearing a different voice so the first one doesn't become inaudible. So it's much like that psychology of raising a child. Even coaching has a very similar psychology. So we allow our staff to be heard constantly. Coach Lavery is very vocal, as you see on the floor when you come to practices. Coach Tuchek has a voice. Marquise McCray will have a great voice for us this year as he's joining our staff as an assistant coach. We've got Adam Gage who's in. He has 8 years of NCAA Division I experience. We got lucky with him because his wife got the she works for the football program at K-State, so he moved to Manhattan, and we happened to have a job open up when Tyler Long got a full-time job at Fort Scott Community College. So we just have an awesome staff, a great group, and they get sick of hearing from all of us, I'm sure, but we try to keep that balance with their schedule as well.
Well, that was one of the items I had listed on things to talk about, the new coaches that you've added during the offseason. And I know you're a great proponent of giving young coaches opportunities, sort of giving them the opportunity to pay their dues. You just don't have them sitting around at practice taking notes and just watching what's going on. You have them actively involved in your practices and helping develop your program.
Yeah, it's really big for us that, you know, we run a student assistant program and even with our other assistants that, you know, we chop up a lot of money in different places where, I mean, we had some guys making $3,000 for a full year. They're working side jobs at a tollway or working at admissions and just doing anything they can to get their foot in the door. You know, Greg, I worked 2 years for free in college coaching. I mean, I was a volunteer for 2 years. So I don't ask our guys to do anything that I didn't do. I was very fortunate. I moved up pretty quickly after those 2 years, and things have worked out well. And my goal is that our staff can come in, they can contribute to our program, they can enhance our student-athlete experience, and then we can move them on to full-time jobs. And you've seen us continue to do that. Tyler Bredehoff made under $10,000, then got the head job at Rock Valley College, which is where I'd previously coached. We obviously helped facilitate that. Chase Dipple left a stipend part-time job with us and got a full-time job. He's now at Baker College as a full-time assistant. Brandon Schwebke left full-time job at Clark University in Iowa. And Tyler Long leaves here. He goes to Fort Scott and gets the full-time assistant job there. So our goal is that our part-time assistants, that we're developing them as they're enhancing our program, and we get rid of them. We don't want to hold on to them. We want them to advance in their careers. And the student athletes get a constant in the program from myself and Coach Lavery. And eventually here too, we're going to have to be seeing, you know, we're entering year five. You know, we'd love Coach Lavery to be here for 15 years, but there's going to be a time when he moves on too. So, I think it's all made sense. It's been healthy. It's been an environment where coaches can thrive and advance. And along the way, they help advance the program and our student athletes. So it's a win for all, for everybody here.
And then, is Marquise McCray, is he the first player you've had at Emporia State that's joined your coaching staff?
Yes, he is my first player. Right. We had Brian Morton right when we got the job. He was just going to finish his degree, and I was seeking somebody who had some experience within the program who you know, was loyal to ESU but would be receptive to a new direction that we were taking the program. And Marquise, Brian Morton did an awesome job, and then, you know, he worked his way through. He got his master's degree, and you know, then he finished up. He's in financial advising right now, and so he's not the first, but he's the first that had played with our current group. Yes, Marquise says.
We're visiting with Emporia State men's basketball coach Craig Doty here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. He joins us on the Sutherland's studio line. Emporia's complete home improvement store for over 25 years. Coach, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back, and I want to talk about the two guys who've signed pro contracts over this summer when we come back.
Love it.
This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The fall competition countdown continued this week with the release of the football preseason polls. For Division I FBS, the University of Alabama tops both the AP and USA Today coaches top 25. The two polls also agreed on the rest of the top five: Ohio State, defending national champion Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Now, historically, the number one spot has not been especially lucky for Nick Saban's teams at Alabama. In seven tries, they've only converted one preseason number one start into a national championship. Meanwhile, in Division I FCS, it's no surprise that North Dakota State kicks off the season at number one. The Bison have possession of 9 of the last 11 championship trophies. Coming up, the passing of one of college basketball's most admired coaches on This Week in the NCAA.
Never. The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders. The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
Week in the end.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood, joined by Emporia State men's basketball coach Craig Doty, as he's getting let's see, have all your players arrived on campus yet, or are still some of them waiting to show up and get ready for classes that start on Monday?
Everyone arrived on campus by late last night, and I mean, I think they're running some open gym today. They're going to go in and get some runs up and down the court and play a little bit. We got a staff meeting today, and then we have our first mandatory team meeting tomorrow in preparation for class, where we go through all the academic stuff. You know, coaching, you know, obviously game day, when we're on the radio, we're talking about, you know, game results, recruiting, those things. But obviously it's so much more than just basketball. There's such a huge piece, you know, which is the reason they're here, is to get degrees and to advance themselves and to learn how to critically think and to, you know, so we try to just really be as progressive as possible and helping our young men. So we got a lot of things going on here. Even though we don't start on the floor with them until next week, Thursday, we got a lot going on from a staffing standpoint, and we're looking forward to hitting the ground running with this crew.
Yeah, sometimes we forget that the reason they're at Emporia State, one, is to, of course, play basketball and win basketball games, but the other important part of it is to get that education to help prepare them for life after basketball.
Oh, yeah. Get the degree, find yourself a wife. I mean, there's lots of things you can do, you know what I mean? There's college has a lot of advantages, and Emporia State presents all of the above, so it's a great place to be.
Well, as I mentioned, going into the break, I wanted to visit with you a little bit about Brendan Van Dyke and Trey Buchanan, who signed professional basketball contracts during the summer and getting a chance to extend their playing careers.
Yeah, I'm super proud of both of them. Obviously, the Brendan Van Dyke situation with the three knee surgeries in 2 years, two of them being major surgeries of an ACL tear, then a re-tear of it, and just what he went through. It's a storybook type deal with him because, I mean, he wasn't even going to play this year. He was supposed to play this upcoming season, and then we felt there were he could impact. We felt like we could have a really good season after the first four or five games, and his knee was getting better. And he goes, well, you know, coach, he came and met with us. We were on the football field, Evan and I. We were watching football practice that Higgs was running, and Van Dyke reached out and said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you." And I said, "Well, come down to the field. It's nice and sunny down here. We'll talk down here." And he said, "You know, would you be open to be playing this year? I think I can graduate." Which, by the way, he did just grad. He just got his everything set up and his final class taken. He'll be walking in December if he can come back from overseas. But he said, "I think I can get graduated. I'd like to play this year if possible. Is there a spot for me?" I said, "If you're healthy, we'll put you in the starting lineup." Okay, you've proven that. And what an impact he made when he came back. And I'm so happy for him to find a pro opportunity. And you know, he's going to make between $3,000 and $4,000 a month. All expense, is paid. They're covering his living, his travel. It's a pretty sweet deal. So, very, very happy for Brendan and his family and just all he's been through. Plus, again, most important thing, finished with a degree from Emporia State. Trey Buchanan, it probably isn't a surprise to anybody when you average 25.6 per game. Lead NCAA Division II, and you did it in the MIAA, that you're going to have plenty of opportunities. You know, Greg, we're usually in a position where our student-athletes really are hoping an agent takes them on. And that's where Van Dyke was. That's where almost all of our signees have been. They're really hoping they're trying to market themselves to agents. Trey Buchanan had an option of a half dozen agents begging for him. And that's the position you don't usually see in Division II. You saw it, obviously, with Trevor Hudgens, who's now with the Rockets. He'll play with their G League team. And Trey Buchanan, those are two really special players. And Trey signed in Cyprus, a beautiful, beautiful country, coastal area. And he is really excited to get there. And he's making more money with them than any of our players who have signed. And rightfully so, based on his upside and his performance that he had at Emporia State.
Did Jamari, has he come across any options yet or any opportunities yet?
Jamari Turner is my favorite guy. I just love that guy. And he slow plays everything. It's just who he is. And remember last year, we didn't know if Jamari was coming back to play for us. He had a lot going on. He finished his degree. And the first week in August, we finally squeezed him and say, "You're either coming or you're not. Okay, we're not playing the game no more." And he said, "Coach, I'm coming back." Okay, so he came back, had a great year, averaged 19.8 points per game, which was third in the MIAA. One of the best backcourts in the history of Division II in terms of scoring output with him and Trey. But Jamari, he's had agent opportunities. He hasn't signed with those agents. He's trying to do it by himself right now. So Jamari's going to do things his way, and we'll see where everything ends up. And we just love the guy. He's been back and forth. He's been working out with our guys a little bit this summer, and it's just great to have him around when he is. And we'll see where and if he signs and how the process goes. You'll hear it from our athletic department and everybody around the community. We'll hear it from you guys at KVOE.
What about your schedule? Do you have that finalized yet? What's it going to look like this upcoming season?
Yeah, we're in a good spot. We didn't get a Division I game for the first time in my tenure at Emporia State, and we figured that would be coming as the program grows. Like Northwest Mo doesn't get Division I games because there's a likelihood they would beat those schools. We're in a position where we're not getting very, very much reception. Now, we get the KU game. It was every other year. Now it seems like it's going to be every 4 years, depending how Coach Self wants to do it. There's kind of a new model with Division Ones. They're also splitting up. Instead of playing two exhibitions, they're doing a Division One scrimmage. So a lot of Division Twos are struggling to get a Division One game. But outside of the exhibition game, which we're not getting with the Division One, we do really like our schedule. We went from playing five NAIs in year one to playing only one this season. So we've really strengthened that schedule. We want to play a lot of teams that are NCAA Division II members, and it will help prepare us for conference play. So we will have that schedule released, Greg, here from the athletic department with six, and then we'll promote the heck out of it. We look forward to seeing our fans in the White Auditorium and getting that thing rocking again.
And with the MIAA, I know there was some talk about maybe altering the way the schedule is put together. Did they decide to stick with the schedule as it was or has been? Both teams playing the same night once during the midweek and then on Saturdays.
Yeah, well, Kent, and that was one of the things that Kent Weiser was really pushing forward was to, you know, and he saw it with our fans at Emporia State, where sometimes it's tough to go to a game and do a doubleheader, especially in the middle of the week. But you know, and it's starting late, 5:30, 7:30. I mean, you arrive what 5:15 for the. For the women's game, and you don't get out of there until 9:15. I mean, that's a long night. So, you know, trying to get away from those 4-hour nights during the week. And the proposal that he had put, which had some good support, was to play Thursday, Saturday, Monday. And the Thursday night would be the women's game, a single. The Saturday would be a doubleheader, and the Monday would be the men's night. And that way it would just be more manageable in terms of time. We're going to have a report come out here really soon from Don Weiss in our sports information department of where we stand in attendance for Division II. And for men's basketball, it's one of the best numbers that we've seen in recent history. And, you know, we're top 10 in the country in attendance. You know, last year was the first time, you know, it's always seemed like, you know, there's been bigger crowds for the women or for the men, and it's traditionally been the women's schedule. But we've kind of flipped that last year. Well, we want big crowds for both. We want big crowds for both games. But again, with those long, so we'll see where it goes in the future. I'm glad you brought that up, Greg, because it's been a topic that's been brought up, and there's been a couple schools in the conference who have heavily resisted it, but there's been, you know, 9 or 10 of them that have supported it. So we'll see where it goes. But we're scheduled for Thursday, Saturday games. There'll be some adjustments based on availability of White Auditorium, just with everything else going on. Sometimes we move those to Wednesday. Sometimes we move a Saturday to a Sunday. But the fans of Emporia State can expect to have doubleheaders scheduled for the conference season this year.
All right. Well, Coach, I know you have a lot of things planned and then spending some time with your family. You need to enjoy it now because that's going to change here not too distant future, and your time's going to be dominated by the basketball season, and seeing the families going to be more of a challenge. But thanks for taking time out this morning and visiting with us, bringing us up to date on men's basketball, and I'm looking forward to what should be another exciting season for Emporia State basketball.
Well, I love it, and I appreciate you mentioning the family. You know, we and welcome to baby boy Calvin on February 1st. So it's a Doty family of six. We bring the circus with us, so they'll be at the game, and it is a wild household all the time. In fact, I am doing this. We have some meetings this morning. I am doing this interview actually outside in my car right now, so there wasn't a bunch of screaming and fun and Peppa Pig and everything going on in the background, though. We do love those things. I didn't know if your viewers wanted to hear all of it. So I'm about to take off and head into town. I just didn't want to move and get a signal cut. So, hey, we're all blessed. An inch and a quarter of rain last night in Emporia. Dylan Sherwood is back. Greg Regg's back for like year number 70. Life is good. Life is good at KVOE and in the Emporia community.
I thought for sure you might be out by the pool, you know, enjoying the morning.
Well, not this one. I am because there's still noises that come from the living area to there. Again, it's all for me. It's about two things right now: cell service and reception, and number two, making sure that it's quiet. So I found that peace in my car right now.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks for taking time out for us this morning, and we look forward to visiting with you down the road.
Can't wait. Take care, gentlemen.
That's Emporia State men's basketball coach Craig Doty joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. He's joined us on the Sutherland Studio Line. Free in-store pickup available on thousands of items when you buy online at Sutherland's. We'll take our next break, and we'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood. And here in this final about 15 minutes of the show, I thought we'd get people up to date on what's happening over at Emporia High. Monday was the first day of fall practices, and today, kind of a busy day over at Emporia High. Volleyball will be holding a scrimmage this morning, and it gets underway at 9 o'clock in the Emporia High gym, so if you want to get a preview of them. The volleyball team might be one of the few teams where they're going to be in a reloading situation because they graduated a bunch of players from last year's team that made it to state. I ran into Coach Ping over at Emporia State the other day, and she says, I only have two starters back from last year. And so she's going to learn a lot about her team here in the next couple weeks. In fact, a week from today, they'll open up their season with a tournament at Hutchison. Have you had a chance to check out volleyball yet, Dylan?
No, I haven't. I'm actually going to be going out after we're done here and see them. But I know who they have back senior-wise, and Delaney Adams and Rebecca Snyder. So they still got Rebecca back, so that'll be big up front for them at the net.
And then I think it's Ryan Peake who's back, yep. The younger sister of Riley Peake, who's now at Emporia State. Ryan and Rebecca are the two that saw considerable playing time last year for the varsity, and the rest of it's going to be learning as we go, building the experience. But, you know, you did a preview on the Emporia High girls tennis team, and they're returning two doubles teams that made it to state. And Coach Saul Trujillo, very excited about what this tennis team might be able to do.
Yeah, definitely. When three of them are seniors as well and they got that state experience last year, it might not have been as much of a trip because, you know, with state being a double elimination and being a two-day tournament, you know, if you lose that first match and then you got to come back on the backside, then you got to start winning so that you could be able to place. And that's a hard thing to do, especially with how the state tournament is formatted in tennis here in Kansas.
Also today, scrimmage-wise, Emporia High football team, they'll have their first scrimmage coming up at 10 a.m. But if you wanted to get over to Emporia High right now, it's Mom's Day. They're allowing the mom's clinic, I guess is what they're calling it.
Yeah, I remember when Coach Millison, I think he kind of started that when I was still working here in town, and I remember seeing pictures and whatnot. I think they would do it maybe after one of the scrimmages. So it's kind of cool that Coach Keaton Tuttle is doing it before their scrimmage this morning, and maybe it'll get some fans out there and see the moms you know, bust through the pads and do all those drills and everything. And I think that's a cool experience.
I saw on Twitter where there's a school, I can't remember where it was, I think it's back east somewhere, where they had the moms doing some tackling drills, and they were using their sons as the tackling dummies, so they got a chance to let out some aggression, I guess, with their sons. Emporia High football team, they're 2 weeks from last night, will kick off their season going to Pittsburgh. And speaking of getting their seasons underway this next week, the Emporia High Boys soccer team will also get their season underway. And Coach Victor Ibarra has a good group of players coming back this year.
I know he was excited to hear from me last week when I reached out to him. Like, hey, I want to come out and talk to some of your guys and hear what's happening. And 9 starters, including a 3-year starter at goalkeeper in Diego Reyes. And, you know, they had a 10-win season last year, and unfortunately they ran into Salina South, Salina South got them 2-0 here. And, you know, that was one of the teams I was covering before I moved back. And I just remember watching Salina South. I think I watched them maybe once or twice, and they play in the tough ABCTL with May South, the Goddards, and the Andovers. I mean, they load their schedule up pretty tough. And Coach Victor Ibarra told me earlier this week that they got a lot of tough games on the schedule. They got teams that were in the Final Four. They got state runners-up and at least made the state tournament this last year.
So there's – believe it or not, high school and even the college sports season gets underway this next week with games and matches coming up Friday and Saturday of next week. So things are about ready to get underway. Of course, the football season doesn't get underway until in 2 weeks for Emporia High and Emporia State and all the area high schools as well. So a lot going on there. Today, Kansas City Chiefs play their second preseason game, taking on the Washington Commanders. Last week they played the Chicago Bears. Good first half for the Chiefs. That's mainly because they played first and second teamers. The other guys, well, they didn't do so well as the Bears score 19 second half points and get the win 19-14. But you didn't hear a lot of huge disappointment from Coach Andy Reid because he knew the situation. And today they'll take on the Washington Commanders, and we'll get a chance. As he said, the first and second teamers most likely will play most of the first half, depending on how things go, which means Patrick Mahomes is probably going to see a full first half of play, because next week he probably won't play at all. Maybe a few series for that final game, because they need to find out who they're going to keep on their 53-man roster. But today's maybe the important training camp or preseason game for the Chiefs.
Yeah, this is where the frontline guys will get most of their reps. As you mentioned, the very last one is going to be more of a, third and fourth teamers who's going to make the squad, and that's going to be their opportunity to either make the team or, if nothing else, showcase themselves for other teams if they get cut by the Chiefs. But if you're wanting to watch a game where the starters will play a good bit, this is your game right here. Last week with Chicago, the frontline guys looked pretty good. You can't take much out of preseason anyway. It's just a chance to get some guys work and then see what you got with the guys who are running third and fourth team. But looking forward to today's game, see more of the frontline guys play. And unfortunately, though, they have suffered some injuries. Juju Smith-Schuster, I guess, will not play with a knee injury. Mecole Hardman, of course, had the groin injury, and then Chris Jones at the back. So they were a little beaten up last week in practice.
And they're done in St. Joe, Missouri. They'll be moving the rest of their preseason practices to Kansas City, and they'll be using their own facility. So their stay in St. Joe is done, and they'll have to make a few cuts, I think, after this week to whittle the roster down. They're down to 85 players now. But they have to get, by the time the first week of September rolls around, they have to get down to their 53-man roster limit for that season opening game. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock. You can hear the game on Country 101.7 FM. Pregame coverage starting at 2. And if you happen to be going to the game, a couple things that the Chiefs want you to remember, that your tickets better make sure you got them on your phone,
yeah,
or mobile device, because they do not sell parking passes or tickets at the gates anymore, and the parking gates open at 10:30, and the stadium gates will open up, I believe, at 1:30 before the game time. So you can do a little bit of tailgating, but all your tickets have to be on mobile because everything's paperless from here on out. So make sure you've got your tickets on your phone before you you head to the game and before you get to the parking lot.
Yeah, 10:30 opening the gates. That's a lot of tailgating.
And I'm guessing there's probably a line of a couple of the gates
I would think
already.
So, too, especially with the noon kickoffs during the regular season. They open those gates up at 8 a.m. And I know going to the game last December against the Raiders, and I think I pulled into the parking lot like maybe a quarter till 9, and I think it was probably about 9:30, 9:45 before I got parked, and then walking into Arrowhead.
Yeah, they're pretty serious about their tailgating there in Kansas City.
Yeah, yes, they are. Speaking of the other Kansas City team, the Kansas City Royals, they did win last night, snapped their four-game losing skid, and they didn't have a bunch of offense, but they had enough to get the victory, a two-run home run from Bobby Witt Jr., and then a sacrifice fly in the top of the 10th inning to score a run, but the defense kind of showed flashed some leather last night. A runner gets thrown at, picked off at second base by Brady Singer, and then in the ninth inning, runner tries to go from stretch a single into a double and gets thrown out at second base by MJ Melendez, gets his first outfield assist, and then in the bottom of the 10th inning, the runner they place at third base tries to steal a couple times. Salvador Perez said, "I thought he was going to steal before then," which, you know, he thought it was kind of strange that he didn't. But when he did steal, Salvador Perez threw him out trying to steal third base, and that allowed the Royals to get the victory 3-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. I won't say a sterling outing by Brady Singer, but another solid outing by Brady Singer as he was able to only give up a couple of runs, made it through six innings, but he struggled a little bit with walks early in the game, and he was able to battle through that, and we'll see if the Royals can't maybe continue to do some things. But earlier this week, Michael Massey hit his first career home run. I saw a tweet from Dave Holtzman, who does the TV end of it, the producer of the Royals television broadcast, and so this is the first time since 1995 that the Royals have had six rookies hit home runs in the same season.
Well, and it's been fun to watch these young guys play. We've been through many years now of this rebuild. I'm not sure how much longer it'll last, but it's good to see these guys come up, and you're going to find out what you have, and there's certainly some talent there. It's just a matter of continuing to develop it. You mentioned Singer. He did struggle with walks last night, but for the most part, well, I'll tell you what, particularly here in the second half of the season, he's been really, really good off the hill. And so there's certainly some positive signs with the team. It's just, can they continue to move forward and actually get to a point where they're contending again? And hopefully that will be sooner rather than later. But the young guys at least have been pretty entertaining to watch.
My question, and, you know, sometimes we get a – I'll go back to 2014, and I can remember there were people in Kansas City hollering for Ned Yost's head, and the Royals, they need to blow up the whole shooting match, and then at the end of the season they end up making it to the wild card game, winning that wild card game, and make it all the way to the World Series. Sometimes you have to be patient and let the process work its way through, and I'm hoping that this scenario is the same way, because earlier this year everybody was hollering for maybe not Mike Matheny's head in that times they have been, but it's more the pitching coach's head, and more as of late, Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo. What are they doing? They're waiting so long to call these guys up. Well, they get them up, and now they're starting to produce. They're starting to have some success, and sometimes you have to be patient with the process, and I'm hoping that kind of carries over to next year, maybe be in the running for a wild card spot next year, 2023, and then in 2024 they can start putting together a stretch like we saw in the late 70s and through the 80s, where the Royals year in and year out were among the elite teams in Major League Baseball, and they were doing it, a lot of it, with homegrown guys.
Well, there's a hungry fan base waiting for that very thing to happen, Greg.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and we've seen a couple of ball clubs, relieve managers this year. The Angels, they released Madden, and then recently the Rangers just fired their manager as well. So
and their president.
Yeah, so just be glad that the Royals have not cleaned house, and I mean, you gotta have faith in the new ownership too, as well.
And I think this offseason is going to be a very interesting one for the Kansas City Royals, not only as of which players do they keep, where are they going to set, but also as far as the coaching staff, maybe even the front office. Does the new ownership group feel like that this management team of Dayton Moore as the president and J.J. Pecola as the general manager, do they have this team on the right direction? And I've heard when we were in the lowest of lows during the season, I heard from listening to the Royals pregame and some other things where they were talking to people outside the organization, and they were saying this Royals organization has some talent. They have the building blocks to really put something together. Just because you have all that talent doesn't mean it's going to be successful. There's a lot that goes into it, but the foundation or the potential foundation is there for them to put together another long run. The disappointing thing about the whole deal when that was all happening, I went back and looked. The Royals, overall in the history of their franchise, has not had a lot of success. They've had runs where they were good in the mid to late 70s. And through the middle part of the 80s, and then, of course, in 2014, 15, and somewhat of 16. But for the most part, the Royals have really struggled win and loss wise. And you hope that they can put together a run and a string where that turns around and everybody sees the Royals as a very legitimate threat to be a World Series champion again.
Well, I think that's where the frustration comes with those who are anti-Dayton Moore. I mean, look at his record there. I mean, I think this is his 16th year, and they've had three winning seasons. Now, granted, two of those have been trips to the World Series and one winning the World Series, but still, you're not talking about a lot of consistency.
No.
And I think that's what the frustration is that there hasn't been any consistency within this organization in terms of being a true contender year in and year out. I think that's obviously the goal and where fans want to get, and that's certainly understandable. But you can't have a World Series championship and then, the next 6-7 years have teams losing virtually 100 games every year. It just can't happen. And fans in Kansas City want better, and certainly deserve better.
And hopefully we'll get better as we go along.
Well, we can only go up, Greg. That's the good news.
We can only go up. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Thanks to Coach Craig Doty for joining us and bringing us up to date on Emporia State men's basketball as the Hornet men, they're back on campus and looking forward to the start of getting ready for the upcoming season. Again, don't forget, coming up today here on KVOE, Royals baseball, as the Royals take on the Tampa Bay Rays. That's a 3:10 first pitch. And on Country 101.7 FM, it's Chiefs football as the Chiefs take on the Washington Commanders. Preseason game number 2, kickoff for that game is set for 3 o'clock. For Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Live and local, 1400 AM.